Let's go to the book of Peter, 1 Peter, his epistle, chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. And we're reading this to discover, this is what we are searching for, the answer to the question, why did Jesus Christ die? Why did he die? What is the purpose of his death? You might say, well, he died for our sins, and you're right, but for what? Let's read. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that he might die to sins and live, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. For you were all like sheep going astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Father, help us today to understand why Jesus died. I always ask you, Father, to open the eyes of our heart that we might see you, see your purpose, see Jesus. And that you may transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why did Jesus die? I think the answer is found in verse 24 of 1 Peter 2. Verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. I believe that Jesus died for our sins, yes. But I believe that God had a purpose in mind and has a purpose in mind. And Father, again, help me to make this clear. And I try to be very succinct in the words I use. So Father, help me. Here's, I believe, the bottom line message that God wants us to take away today, that Christ died so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Die to sins and live for righteousness. I believe that God wants us to live like Christ, who died to sin and lives for righteousness. Therefore, I believe that God has empowered believers through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe that he has empowered us through his sufferings to die to sin and live to righteousness. I believe that he's enabled us to die to sin and live to righteousness. Therefore, the power is in the blood. You've heard people sing about that. People say that all the time. What do they mean? What does God mean? What does the word mean? There's power in the blood of Jesus. You say it's just blood, right? Type this, type that. Jesus had certain type of blood. It's just blood. But there's power in the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the cross. You see, it's just a piece of wood. I look behind me. You can see it's just wood. Just some sticks we got out of the forest in the back. Our side of the forest, by the way. They're not stolen crosses. Well, there was a thief on the left and the right, right? Okay. Wasn't me. But it's just a cross. But we sing about the power of the cross. We sing about the power of the blood. Blood is just blood, or is it? Is Jesus' blood just blood? The cross that he was on, is it just a cross? You see, the purpose is that Christ suffered and died that we would stop sinning and live to righteousness, that we would die as he died on the cross to sin and live to righteousness. There's a power there. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about, a power? Notice verse 21. Verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that we should follow in his steps. God's purpose is that we would be like Christ, because Christ died to sin, right? And he lives to righteousness. That's the purpose. That's why Jesus died. To this you were called. That's you and I. If you are a Christian, if you believe by faith that salvation is by faith alone and grace alone in Christ, this is what you were called to, because Christ suffered for you. And I believe in his suffering, there was and there is an empowerment. I'm talking about a spiritual empire that was purchased by God, that was given through Jesus Christ. He suffered for us to empower us, to strengthen us. And the power of the cross, of Jesus on that cross dying. It's not the cross. It was the man on the cross who was God, who created all things, who's omnipotent. That means he has all power. That man who shed his blood is omniscient. It means he knows all things. He's omnipresent, that he is everywhere right now. It is that God who died for us that empowers us. The one who has all power empowers us to die to sin as he did on the cross. See, God wants us to be like Jesus and to live to righteousness. That's why the power is there. It's because of God, not because of a stick or because of blood, but because that God gave his body on a cross and gave his blood. We draw power from that. The same power that Jesus experienced on the cross and the shedding of his blood is available to us. There's power in the blood. There's power in the cross. But it is not the wood. It's not the blood physically. It is what that blood purchased and who blood it was. It was the blood of the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, knowing everything. He knows everything. Therefore, he can deliver us power in the blood of the cross. I have here somewhere, there it is, a seed. All right? This is just a, I guess I don't know what kind of seed this is. We bought it years ago from the DeKalb Farmers Market. All right, it's pinto beans, she tells me. Thank you. Pinto beans. I'm telling you, there's power in this bean. Yes, she said, yeah, if you eat too much of it. Okay, we won't go there. But there's power in this bean. He said, come on, Pastor, you know there's no power in that bean. That bean can't do nothing. Bury it, and then you'll see. Jesus, on the cross, he died. He shed his blood, and he was buried. Bury this seed, and you will see that even in the seed, there is a power. Jesus died. And you know what Jesus said? In John chapter 12, in verse 24, he says, a kernel of seed Until it dies, it remains alone. But if it is, how do you put it? If it is, if I put that seed in the ground, guess what happens? Life. There's power. God put power in that seed. And that power can come alive and produce life. And instead of one seed, you can have hundreds from that one. There's power. There's power. Read the entirety of John 12, verse 24. Jesus said this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat or bean, pinto even, falls to the ground and dies, we cover it up, right? We have a burial. This next week, I hope to bury quite a few seeds in the backyard because I know there's power in that seed. I know there's life in this seed. And if there's life in this seed, there's life in God's seed, in Jesus Christ." He said, "Truly, truly, I tell you." He says, "Believe me." John 12, 24. "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it's power. It remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many, many seeds. And God has come. He has sent his son to die and to empower us by his death to produce life, that we may live and that we may die to sin." You see, when I put this seed in, after a week or two, it's going to die. It's going to leave its shell behind. And you will see pushing up from the ground life, a whole nother plant, and power to feed me and my whole family and you and everybody else. God has come that we might have life. And we might have life more abundantly. And it is through the power of the cross. I believe, and I maybe can't prove it to you, I believe that something happened on the cross. I believe that something happened when Jesus died. I have maybe more to say about that later. I believe that's why I believe that there's power in Jesus Christ. He was not a mere man. He was God. And he lives to give us power and strength to die to sin and live to righteousness, to live to God, to walk, as we read here in 1 Peter, to walk in his steps, walk in his steps. Verse 21 again. "Because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example." He suffered for you. Okay, he suffered for me. What does that mean? "Not only your sins to be forgiven, but that you may be empowered to follow in his steps. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps." Okay, there's an example. But example is not, it's great, but if you don't have the power to follow that example, it's useless. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, something happened. Not just any old sin. I think an empowerment happened. I think things changed. And God offers us power, as he said here, that we should follow in his steps. He suffered for you so you can follow in his steps. That, in other words, you get from him the power to follow him in his steps. Are you with me now? He committed no sin, verse 22. Verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? Okay, he died for my sins. I have no more guilt. I'm justified. I'm made right with him. There's something else. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die, so that we would be enabled and empowered so that we may be able and empowered to die to sins. That I don't have to do what I used to do. See, it's wonderful that God removes the guilt of what you used to do and what I used to do and the things we're ashamed of. We don't have to bear the guilt anymore. But God has more than you being guilt-free. See, because you could be guilt-free, and then you go back doing the same things you were doing. God is freeing us from it all. It's a one-two punch. Boom. Your guilt is removed. Bam. A new way of life. You live to righteousness now. You say, oh, I kind of like just having my sins forgiven and I have no more guilt. And then I can do what I want to do. No. He empowered you to not only walk in his steps, but to say no to sin and yes to God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins. That might die is not just a question mark. There is an affirmative that we will have the might to live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Oh, he's talking about, that's from Isaiah. We read that earlier. Mr. Ross read that. Is that talking about, you know, cramps I get in my hands and maybe the serious disease, I may have cancer, I may have heart trouble, this, that, and the other thing, and God heals me. Is that what he's talking about? I think that's included. I think that we are blessed with God in heavenly places in all kinds of ways. But I don't think that's what we're talking about here. In 1 Peter 2, he bore our sins in his body that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, there's power in the blood. By his wounds, you have been healed. Have been healed of what? I believe the primary healing is that of you going and my going astray. By his wounds, you have been healed. Verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray. That's what we need most of all in the healing. And that's what God gives us. For you were like sheep going astray, but now, hallelujah, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. But now, what's the but? What came before the but? What comes after the but? What came before the but was Jesus. He's born, blah, blah, blah. What came after? He was crucified on a stake. It was the nails that we so jubilantly and enthusiastically sang about. It wasn't the nails, right? It was the nails of his love. It was his love that held him there, his love for us. It wasn't the spear in his side that tacked him there. No, it was his love for us, for we, the good shepherd he is, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your branch that I have in my feet, of my high blood pressure. No, of my soul. Something changed in the birth. Not just the birth, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and him on that cross for our sins. We have been healed. And we turn back to the shepherd of our soul and we say no to going astray and yes to following the shepherd where he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we don't fear anymore. You know, once you come understand the gospel, you don't fear death in the same way. Nobody wants to die. But you know, your shepherd is leading you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't have to fear any evil. You follow what is right. You follow the good shepherd. That's the purpose. That's why Christ died. And we see that he was committed to this purpose. God is so committed to you and to me dying to sin and living to righteousness, so committed that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is committed to your salvation, to your joy, to your peace, to your righteousness. He's committed. He's not, as they say, half stepping. He's not only purpose. He said, I'm committed. You want proof that this is going to be? Look at that. Look at the cross. Look at the blood of my Son. I'm going to do this. I have covenanted it, that on the life of my Son, you will be with me in paradise. You will be made righteous. You are going to be changed where you die to sin and live to righteousness, even now. He's not half step. He's not slipping and sliding, as they say. He's 100%. 100%. And all that he is, and all his omni. He's all that. He's got skin in the game, as they say. Somebody said, man, you're not serious. You don't have any skin in the game. He's got more than skin in the game. He's got the body and the blood of his Son in this game of salvation, that you will be victorious. You will go over the finish line. Why? Because why? Why? Because of the Christ's blood. Christ suffered. He suffered for you. Let's read that again. I think we need to get that in our spirit. Verse 21. To this way you were called, because Christ suffered for you. There's power in it. He says, look, you can believe this because Christ suffered for you. God suffered for you, that you should follow in his steps. You were empowered to. It's not just saying, do it and good luck. Try harder next time. No. And he is suffering for you. He empowers you to do it. Christ suffered for you. He suffered for us. Something happened on the cross. Something happened when Jesus died. I want you to come over with me. Let's look at a change that occurred, a cosmic change. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was very meticulous and detailed when he recorded what happened with Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to begin, maybe, let's say, in verse 45. This is when Jesus was nailed to the cross, spear in his side, when he's dying. Isaiah 27, verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. This was not nighttime, folks. Something changed at the crucifixion of Jesus. Something moved in the heavens and on earth and in realms that we don't even know about, all created by God for his son. Matthew 27, 45. I don't know what I said while ago. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. It shouldn't be dark out here now. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know why he forsook his son? You know why? He tells us right here. 1 Peter 2, 20, 21 through 24, so that we could die to sin. There's an empowerment. There's an enablement there. Why have you forsaken? And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, no, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple that divided the Holy of Holies from the holy place was rent. Something happened in the heavenlies. It was opened up for us. When it was rent, we received the power to follow him, to die to sin, because we are crucified with Christ, and to live to righteousness. Jesus cried out. He gave up the spirit. And at that moment, the curtain at the temple rent, and it was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split. Wow. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. I could go on and on and on, but I won't. I'll read one other verse, verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If the centurion knew something had changed, I want us all to stop right now and pause. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do we believe that by his wounds on that cross on that day, we have been healed spiritually from living in sin? Now we've got the power, that wonder-working power, comes from the Lamb, of not going astray, but following after the Lamb, following in his steps. Do you believe you have that power? Do you believe that there's power in him? Check this out. He shed his blood for my sins and your sins. He was sacrificed for my evil and your evil. See, I believe that because he died for me and shed his blood on the cross, he's now given me the power. See, he took my place and died for my sins. I also believe that he lives in me to live that life of saying no to sins, of dying to sins, and living to righteousness. I believe I have that power. That wonder-working power by the blood of Jesus. That we can leave the past behind with all of its guilt, and we can leave behind the way we live and start living a new life. Why? Because we have that power. That wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, and that we have power in the cross. We have no excuses. We need to just turn to him. I want to read that again from the same passage or same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I want to read it again. To this you were called. Today you've been called to this. And if you believe in this, I want to encourage you, young or old, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you have not, how can I put it? Fully surrender yourself to the cross and die to yourself. I want you to do that now. If you believe that he has power, wonder-working power, to overcome sin so that you can die to sin and live to right. If you believe that right now, I don't care how old you are and what your situation is, or what excuse you might have to continue to live in sin, I am calling upon you to turn your back on it and to follow Jesus. There's no life in any other thing but in God, but in Jesus. To this you were called. This sermon is a calling sermon. Every one of us are being called today to come to the cross, to come to Jesus. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you, me, we should follow in his steps. And there are no excuses because there's power in the blood. There's power in the cross. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself. And that's what God is calling us to do today. Entrust yourself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross. That's where the power comes from. So that we might die, so we can die, so we can do it by the power of his sacrifice. So that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Do you believe that? We have been healed by the blood of the Lamb, healed from our sins, healed from our lusts, healed from our greed, whatever our sins may be that we confess to the Lord. He says, I have healed you. For you were like sheep going all astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn upon what and contemplate what he's done for you. And he's shown that he's with you. He's shown that he'll do it by the sacrifice of his son. He put his son on the line for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need you. And we thank you that your word says already that by the wounds of your son, we have been healed. Father, I believe that. Help that to believe be more than a confession or saying something. Help us to live by that and walk in the steps of Jesus. Help us to be more like you, Jesus, through your blood and through the cross. Help us, Lord. If there's someone listening today and you hear these words, you say, I don't believe all that stuff. Ask God to change you and to give you the power to believe that Jesus is real and that he really did die for you and he lives for you, so that you can die to sin and live to righteousness. It's a wonderful way to live. It's the only way to live, and it's the only way anyone will live. There's no life in anything else. Turn to Jesus. Put your trust in him. Do that for us, Lord. Change our hearts. Give us the faith to walk and to turn and to walk and to follow in your steps, Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to partake the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It points us to his body and his blood. And we understand what Jesus has done for us and that we are participating in his life, empowered, committed, got his purpose by the blood of his son, that this will be for his saints. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, a little bit different place that we go to from time to time. We don't often go to 1 Corinthians 10, 16 for the Lord's Supper, but this is what I want us to understand in correlation with today's message. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, in a little bit I will pray and ask God to bless the bread and the wine. Paul asked this question, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Remember I told you that there's a power. We're not talking about like a power in a cross. It's not a trinket I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something you necessarily wear on your neck or you put on a table. I'm talking about a spiritual reality that when you believe of what God has done for you in Christ. You participate in the Father and with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, with God. The cup of blessing we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? That's why we realize we have the power because of his blood. The bread that we break, we've already broken ours, we're going to pray over it. Is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Isn't this real? No, it's bread. But there is a mysterious way in that that bread is the body of Christ. We are eating the body of Christ, not blood, not flesh. This is a spiritual thing. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Speaking of Christ, millions of Christians partake of this one body from which we are strengthened from and saved by and empowered to die to sin and live to righteousness. That's why we eat and drink it. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Now go to the Old Testament and the analogy to the sacrifices of the temple. He says, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? Here's something much deeper than remembering. We come to Lord's Supper and says, remember. This is much deeper than remembering. Much, much deeper than remembering. We are believers, and those who trust and treasure Jesus Christ. And Paul says that they are participating in the body and blood of Christ. Literally, they are experiencing, they're sharing in his body and blood. They are experiencing this relationship that we have with God where we are empowered. We are enabled to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. And what does this participation, this sharing and partnership mean? In verse 18, this is what I think it means. Verse 18 gives us a clue. Bear with me. And I go down to verse 18. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifice participate in the altar? Do I mean then, I know I'm repeating something, but it's important that I say this again to you. Do I mean, Paul says, that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or the idol is anything? No. Absolutely no. There's one Lord, one God, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I should say. Do I mean, Paul says, do we sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? No. Or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? In other words, you cannot serve God and mammon, whatever your idol may be, God and popularity, God and money. It's an idol. You become part of that. You become like what you worship. Are you trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are you stronger than he? And then he goes on to something else. Listen, here's the point. Here's what God wants us to get. That we are partakers of the body and the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven. And we are strengthened, we are cleansed, and we are given eternal life by faith in Christ and what he's done for us and what he does in us and through us. And so, Father, we ask you to bless the bread as we're about to partake of it, that we will be partaken of the body and the blood of Jesus and strengthened strengthened in Jesus Christ and be satisfied and fulfilled as bread fills us and satisfies us. Satisfy us with Jesus. And may we worship him and him alone and nothing else. We thank you for it. Let it be a blessing in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you would bless this wine as it points us to the blood of Jesus and in a way that I cannot explain and no one can. But by faith, I believe that I am saved, washed, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we experience that. And we live by that power of the blood. Let us experience that through the blood of Jesus as we drink this wine and participate in this common union with Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Now, as we eat and as we drink, I want us to sing. And you can just listen and enjoy it. A song called The Power of the Cross.
To see the